Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Do you ever see mushrooms and want to know more about them? Let's go in depth with Lena Rodriguez Salamanca with the Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic at the Iowa State University Extension Service. So Lena, what do you do at the Extension office?
So I work at the Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic at ISU campus. And my main responsibility is to help with plant problems and ornamental horticulture plants, like anything you will have in your garden or any commercial producer. But I also am in charge of the mushroom identification service. We identify mushrooms mainly that are present or related with trees or lawns to help people manage them. But we do not recommend edibility.
Okay, so you get a lot of requests from people to, and I know you're interested in mushrooms, but let's talk a little bit broader. If I've got some kind of a growth on my oak, I might take a picture of it to send to you and say, hey, what's this? Can I do anything about it?
Well, those tend to be very hard. So normally what we will ask is for photos of the base of the tree, the whole tree, because there's a lot of mushrooms that will cause butt rot, and that will cause problems on the root system, and then the tree may become a hazard. So it can fall in structures or can harm people if the root system is compromised by the mushroom.
I didn't know that mushrooms compromised plants. I mean, I guess I just had no idea.
Right. So in nature, a lot of the mushrooms are recyclers. So a lot of them are very good at decomposing wood. And in fact, in the ecosystems in the forest, this is a very good service because it allows for that wood to be decomposed, return to the soil, and become nutrients to the new trees that will be around. But when, you know, once we think of our urban settings and the trees that are in our settings, mushrooms can also be present. And so the urban setting is so different. There's a lot of stressors for those trees. And then mushrooms then can either make the tree weak to the point that it will rot and it may become a problem. Or it could be a more, it is decomposing the wood, but it may take longer for it to become a hazard.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about mushrooms with Lena Rodriguez Salamanca with the Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic at the Iowa State University Extension Service. Well, in my experience, mushrooms are sort of ephemeral. All of a sudden, they're big, they're beautiful, they're there, and then it's like they're gone. And, you know, sometimes in a day, sometimes, you know, in a week or so. I guess I never thought that they were around so long that they could do damage.
Right, and so that is correct. Most of the mushrooms, if you think of mushrooms with the analogy of maybe a dandelion flower and its seed. So a mushroom is the reproductive structure of an underground mycelia of the fungi. So this mycelia is, imagine this microscopic net that for those that are mycorrhizal or beneficial to the trees, those nets will make this relationship with the roots of the trees, and the fungi will benefit and the tree will benefit. But there are other fungi that may be present in the soil or in wood and can be parasitic or cause harm to the plant or the tree.
So some mushrooms damage trees and some have what you might call a symbiotic relationship with both prosper because of it?
That's right. And we call those type of mushrooms and fungi in general mycorrhizae. Mycorrhizae, that last part of the word, rhizae, means root. And so with this tiny microscopic threats, if you will, they're called mycelium. That mycelium extends the roots of the plant and is very good at catching nutrients and giving it to the tree. And in the tree will give some nutrients back to the mycelia, to the mycorrhiza.
And so how long will that relationship last? I mean, does it last a few days, weeks, years?
Many years. So, the mycorrhizae, there's a lot of this type of fungi in the forest, and it really is beneficial for those trees. So as long as, there's not a lot of disturbance in the area, and we have conducive moisture and good conditions, it could be the whole life of the tree.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it only trees or is it other plants that mushrooms have relationships with? I guess I never thought I'd say those words together, mushrooms have relationships with.
That's funny. So yes, there are some other relationships. And in fact, there is a lot of scientists that want to see if we can actually use that power of the mycorrhizae and maybe use it in our crops. So there's a lot of undergoing, testing and seeing if we could use it. So yes, that's definitely a field of research.
Well, that could be really interesting. You say there's research. Are there any real applications so far?
Well, not that I know or use on a daily basis or that I'm aware of here in Iowa. I know that you may find some of these products in the garden center or that may be available to commercial producers where you can dip your roots on them. And so they can help some. So it's more to help the plant to grow vigorous, extend the roots of the plant, help the plant do it in droughty or drought conditions, and help that plant withstand stressors.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about mushrooms with Lena Rodriguez Salamanca with the Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic at the Iowa State University Extension Service. How many requests might you get in a year at your lab on identifications? Do you get them all the time or what?
Well, so photos and emails are hard. We get quite a bit of those, but very often we don't get enough information, and identifying a mushroom just with a photo, if you don't have all the characteristics, is very challenging. So those are hard, and we don't advertise that as a service, just because we have some other services that come with priority. But in general, if people want to send us a mushroom for identification, we have a page. There is a $10 fee, and we like to get photos of the tree along with the mushroom. Because once I get the mushroom, I go through this very structured process of looking at the body of the mushroom. Does it have pores, gills, teeth? How do the spores look like? A lot of different tests and characteristics that I look through.
Did you say teeth?
Yes.
Mushrooms have teeth?
Yes. So the way that mushrooms sometimes will form the spores, they're produced on this very thin gills or like fabric-like tissue. But sometimes they will make pores to disperse them. Or sometimes the spores will be formed on those teeth. So they literally look like little teeth under the cap of a mushroom or the body of a mushroom.
So they look like teeth. They aren't really bony structures with enamel teeth.
No.
Okay.
No, not really. And a good example of this is if you look at our new guide, the Safe Mushroom Foraging Guide, that you can either download as a free PDF or purchase from the extension store for $4. Page 49, the hedgehog mushroom, also called the sweet tooth mushroom, has beautiful tooth that you can see under the cap.
Okay, I'm going to have to get this mushroom guide.
Yeah, so our idea of having this guide is, you know, people always want to know what is safe to eat and what is not. And so we kind of put together with my collaborators, Luna Orlando and Roseanne Healy, this guide of the most common things that we will see at the clinic, that reports that we have in Iowa, in our Bay Area, and things that people always are asking about. So that hopefully you see a couple photos, learn a little bit more. This guide is by no means comprehensive. It's just a good amount of information that you can learn to be cautious. See if you want to get into this wonderful hobby of looking for mushrooms and understanding them and identify them, but also recognizing that some of them can be very dangerous and do have some toxins and can cause, you know, from an upset stomach to death sometimes.
I think I'll just stick to the morels.
Yes. But you have to keep in mind, too, that at the same time that morels come up, you may see some of the false morels, and those are terribly toxic. So we have put on our guide a mushroom calendar. And these calendars are also available on a mobile-friendly website that you can look, so that you can see, for example, in April, what you may also find as you're hunting for morels, and that you avoid any of the false morels, the gyromitra, the burpas, and learn to recognize them so that you don't put yourself at risk.
Well, I better do that, because I'm always looking for morels in the spring. Was this a rewarding project for you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I am very grateful for Roseanne. She's a wonderful mycologist, and she really was instrumental to this guide. And she is an ISU alumni now in Florida, but she was a student of a very famous mycologist here in Iowa State, Dr. Tiffany Lewis. So it was great to kind of distill some of the more complicated books into something that is family-friendly, that you can take with you to the woods with your kids, learn about mushrooms, and sometimes know that you don't need to pick everything. You actually should leave a lot of those things behind, especially the poisonous ones, but also the ones that are good for trees, and like those mycorrhizae one that I was saying, if they are mutualistic or beneficial, we have put a little icon on there, so that you know that that particular mushroom is having a beneficial relationship with the plants around them.
Thanks to Lena Rodriguez Salamanca for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.